I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I spent all day mowing the lawn because rewatching the PlayStation showcase before this recording seemed like more of a boring idea.
Boring.
Yeah. Showcase didn't do much for me.
Yeah.
To say not much is to say almost nothing.
I would agree. It did nothing for me to the point of where, like, I was like, do I like video games anymore?
Okay, so I didn't get to that point. I didn't have an existential crisis. But I did reach the... out of everything that was shown that we will go over in a bit, three or four things were the ones that I went, ooh, okay, maybe that one.
Yeah. I would say that's accurate. Yeah. The only thing it did for me was start to think on a philosophical level about PlayStation. And their thought processes. And there's possibly the strategies, and I'm just like,
there's one thing that really should have made you think about that, and that should be interesting.
Well, first off, I hate, what's the dude's name?
Jim Ryan.
Was that Jim Ryan? Okay. I don't know. I always get the two of them mixed up. There's Jim Ryan and there's the other guy. The fucking square jawed motherfucker.
Square jaw.
Yeah.
From like before?
No.
Oh.
Whatever, I'll look it up in a second.
Shuhei?
No. I know who Shuhei is. If it was Shuhei, we'd be happier.
That's true.
At the very least. We'd be like, oh, well, you know, Shuhei's. If you know what? Actually, if it was Shuhei, the showcase would have made way more fucking sense.
That's also true. That is true.
Now I'm even madder.
My bad.
That motherfucker, Jim Ryan. I don't think he's ever played a video game in his entire life.
No, probably not.
Anyways, I guess. You know what? This is the Gamers Who Podcast. It's your weekly roundup of news and commentary. It's going to get shoved down your throat. And anything else that might pique our interests.
The good news about shoving things down your throat is there's not much news.
That's true. I tried to keep it light, hit some... we'll probably blow through it all, and then we'll just talk about the showcase.
That's true. That's probably what will happen.
Yep. It's exactly what will happen, because that's how we fucking planned it out.
Exactly. Exactly. We wrote the script, which means there's also some stuff we got to get to before we get to that.
Yeah, which is new releases, which hopefully there's some better on there than what was shown on the showcase. I don't know. I didn't look.
Number one, Inkbound for the PC. Number two, After Us for the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Number three, Blooming Business Casino for the PC. Number four, Destiny 2 Season of the Deep. If you needed a new season and a new reason to play Destiny 2.
New season, new reason.
Glitch Busters Stuck on You for the PC, PlayStation, and Switch. Number six, Miasma Chronicles for the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Number seven, Planet of Lana for the PC, Xbox. Number eight, Puzzle Bobble Every Bubble for the Switch. I hate that name.
I can see why.
Number nine, Star Trek Resurgence for the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Number 10, Wobble Dogs Console Edition for the PlayStation and Xbox. Number 11, Dark Quest 3 for the PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 12, Kingdom Rush Origins for the Xbox. Number 13, Cassette Beasts for the Xbox and Switch. Number 14, first of all, I'm going to tell you something about. Death from Above for the PC.
All right.
Can you guess what it is?
Death from Above.
How far in did you get?
I saw one word.
Okay.
And I'm confused. So.
Perfect. In Death from Above, you are in. Ooh, I can't do a good accent for this one, but I wish I could. In Death from Above, you are a lone Ukrainian military drone operator battling Russian occupation forces. Hidden behind enemy lines, you command a super drone to seek and destroy tanks, take back communication towers, recover stolen goods, and fight for a better tomorrow.
This is like a new version of Nuclear Strike.
Basically. Or the movie War Game. Because there's the moment where it's too real.
Yeah.
You're like, am I playing a game or am I really flying a drone in Russia?
I'm assuming this was a game that someone was working on and then they were like reskinned it to be like, oh wait, this is perfect.
I like the better idea that they were working on this game and then the war started and they were like, this is the best marketing I've ever had.
Yep. I saw a video actually today of this, you know, because you see them every once in a while online. A couple subreddits I follow, the videos pop up. One popped up today of a drone dropping a grenade into a hole that was essentially the air exhaust for a Russian trench.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was like a hole that was probably, if I had to guess, like based on how the...
Yeah, it's probably like 5 inches diameter or something.
Yeah,
like
that. Based on how how the grenade landed into it and bobbled around it, it was probably like this big. It was probably like somewhere around 8 to 10 inches in diameter. And drone operator from...
Who knows?
Who knows how high up? 100 feet, 200 feet probably. And it was almost like a nothing but net situation. It's just like, boop, boop, in. And boof, you know, I was like, amazing.
It's impressive.
It really is. And it was like the old, you've seen Apollo 13 or any of the, like, you know, shots of the moon, any of the moon landings or the Apollo missions. They have the... When they were lining up to dock, they had the I don't know what it's called, but it's essentially like a reticle, like the physical reticle in the window.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
And that's how they lined it up. It was like that style. So there was the camera, and then there was like almost like a pogo, like a you know, like the camera had like just a stick or a fixture in it, and that's how they were using it to aim. I was like, all right, well, I was watching, like, there's no way.
Because I wonder with like being that high up. They have to account for wind and everything else, so.
Yeah, I don't know. Wild. I guess, though, grenades are pretty heavy, so I wonder, like, if wind doesn't affect it as much as you'd think.
It probably still does, but depending on the strength of said wind. Like, up until 30 miles an hour, they don't care.
Yeah, we'll have to do some experimenting with grenades and drones.
I don't think we will.
All right. No. I'll just, you know, throwing it out there. Never mind.
There's so many things that I want to say, like, no, we're not going to do that.
You're lost, man. All right. What else we got?
Mostly because somehow the drone wouldn't leave the ground and we would get blown up.
Yeah, you know, it's fine.
That would be the most likely scenario.
It's fine.
Number 15, Do Not Feed the Monkeys, $20.99. For the PC and Switch. Number 16, Hello Good Boy for the PC and Switch. Number 17, Hello Neighbor VR Search and Rescue for the PSVR. Number 18, Lord of the Rings Gollum for PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. And whoo boy, does that game look great.
Looks amazing. Top quality. They should make another.
It looks like everything that we've warned you about since we saw that game get announced.
Yeah.
Number 19, One Piece Odyssey Reunion of Memories DLC for... Yep. Solasta? Yeah. Crown of the Magister Palace of Ice DLC. What fucking game is that?
What a name.
Tennis Manager 2023 for the PC. Gonna be able to manage all the games, man.
That's the fad.
Number 22, To the Rescue for the Switch. Number 23, Forspoken in Tanta We Trust DLC. Number 24, Home Sheep Home Farmageddon Party Edition for the PlayStation and Xbox. So if you like Shaun the Sheep, there's a game for you. Yes, that is a Shaun the Sheep game.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I thought you were just kidding.
No, because I went to look it up to see if I was kidding because I liked the name. And no, it's a Shaun the Sheep game. Number 25, Replicator for the PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. In this twin-stick roguelite shooter, you play as one of the galactic mercenaries. Explore a mysterious scientific complex and uncover the secret of the Replicator Project.
Thrilling.
Yeah. One of these times I'm going to go full Shatner. In this twin stick roguelike shooter, you play as.
I remember the when I watched his that his Twilight Zone episode where the you know there's something on the wing because you always heard it and it's like a joke and then I watched it and I was like that was frightening I always like for the longest time when I was younger I you know you'd hear about Twilight Zone and stuff like that and I was like oh it's dumb probably an old show blah, blah. Then
it,
I watched cause
it was
yeah. Then I watched not it, like and I was like...
Part, like, it was an old show for us.
It's, like, Twilight Zone's, like... It's got some, like, think... It's a thinking show.
Yeah, well, that's
it's got some. It's got some shit going on. You watch an episode, and you're like, that fucked me up.
That's why when they started making it again.
Yeah. I don't think it was as good, but...
No, it wasn't as good, but, like, they started doing that again, and that's where, like, Black Mirror gets a lot of its love, too. Of being very Twilight Zone-esque.
Yeah.
We now enter the Twilight Zone.
That one, that fucked me up when I was younger. And then there was that Stephen King, like, I think it was like a TV movie. The one where, like...
Swamp Thing.
No, the... the people are, like, on an airplane or something. And then, like, half of them, like, everything... What is it? Like they land or something. They wake up and there's only like half of them on the airplane. And there's no one else around.
Lost.
And then these things all like they're the world seems in the distance seems to be disappearing. And it gets closer and closer and closer and closer. And then like they see that it's like all these like weird ball creatures that are like literally consuming the world. And it's like. I don't know.
I have no idea.
It was a wild one, and that one fucked me up.
Was it a fever dream?
Maybe it might have been. I watched The Clockwork Orange while I was having like a super high fever, and that really fucked me up.
Well, yeah, that just sounds like a massive mistake.
I was like tripping balls from a fever because I had just a massive fever. Took a bunch of medication. Watched Clockwork Orange. I was like a preteen.
There's like things you need to not watch. Teenager when you're fucked up. That. Oh my god, Beautiful Mind.
Had another experience when
I watched that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. I had another one where I was really sick and I was alone, you know, in my apartment at the time.
Oh no.
And it was you know, weird shit happening in life. And I watched Giant. I'm familiar with Giant. It's the old movie Giant with James Dean, Elizabeth.
Oh, no, I'm not.
It's like 3.5 hours long. It's this like wicked old style epic. It's like filmed in Technicolor, you know, one of those movies.
Yeah, when that was the thing.
Yeah, that was wild. I don't know how we got on this tangent. What were we doing? Video games.
Yeah, video games. I thought we should start talking about old movies, and I was about to be like, we can go down this road.
That's fine.
Because I watched Leslie Nielsen's Naked Gun, the third one.
I never liked those when I was younger, and then I watched one recently.
They're worth it again.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah, because now you're old enough to appreciate the jokes, and you go, ah.
I was like, this is well-crafted.
Yeah, there's a lot with that and a lot of other like comedy shows,
mm-hmm.
shows, movies, or even like Whose Line Somewhat, where I will pause and rewatch things because I'm like, are they making the reference I think they're making, or am I missing? There, it seems like there was a beat where I'm clearly missing something that happened here.
Yeah.
And then I find it. I'm like, oh, I can't believe they did that. Or worst case was I was watching Naked Gun with somebody and I saw something. I was like, that is really clever. And they didn't even notice or react. And I was like, oh, I'm going to lose it.
Good shit.
Anyway.
Yeah, what do you want to? How do you want to do this?
I think you should do odds.
All right, we're gonna blow through a couple of the things that I threw in here, and then we'll be into the PlayStation showcase. NetEase has formed another new development studio, naming it Bad Brain Game Studios. Love the name.
Hey, we've said that.
The company will be based out of offices in Toronto and Montreal, although will also support hybrid working for its team. Bad Brain is working on an, quote, ambitious new franchise, end quote, starting with a story-driven open-world action-adventure game. The title will be inspired by cult 1980s films and built in Unreal Engine 5. The team will be led by Sean Crooks, formerly lead producer at Ubisoft Toronto, with credits on Driver San Francisco and the Watch Dogs.
Everybody remembers Driver San Francisco, right?
I do. I do remember Driver San Francisco.
I remember it, but I did not play it.
I don't think I did either. What do you think they mean by cult 1980s films? I feel like that's a fucking wide range of movies that they could be talking about.
I hear that, and I think Black Dynamite.
Interesting. I'm not sure the timeline.
Did you get what I mean? It's like the same thing that they thrive their stuff on,
mm-hmm.
is those cult action movies of the time, and like doing the over-the-top ridiculousness and all these weird cuts and everything like that.
I'm trying to see what's actually in the 80s. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
What I'm getting annoyed with is everybody just putting their Steam tags for their game in their descriptions. We got to stop that.
Well, you know, you got to hit
story-driven open world action adventure.
You got to hit the algorithm, bro.
Whatever other tags you're going to put in, just stop it.
You got to hit the algorithm.
At least use the words like narrative driven. Not literally the Steam tag.
Click
number big. 2, Matt and I's favorite rating system.
Peggy, 18.
Peggy has fined Activision Blizzard and PlayOn for not disclosing the presence of loot boxes in two games during the ratings process. Activision Blizzard neglected to mention the loot boxes in Diablo Immortal when it submitted the mobile game for a rating, while PlayOn did the same with limited Bounty Hunter edition of Hunt Showdown.
Get fucked.
You got to stop lying.
Yeah. Proud of you, Peggy. Keep up the good work.
Peggy, 18.
One of the largest shareholders of Enid. I don't know how to say that. Enid.
We're going to Enad.
The Nads. Get him in the Enads. Twist his Enad.
Grab his Enads and twist it. And we all need that twist.
One of the largest shareholders of Enad Global 7 has requested that its board seek a sale of the entire firm. The announcement was made via a letter saying that the move came after analyzing the gaming group's properties, operations, and business strategies. Quote, despite being a leading gaming company with a diverse portfolio of high-quality assets, EG7 is among the cheapest publicly traded gaming stocks in the world, end quote. Founded in 2013, EG7 develops, markets, and distributes games across PC, console, and mobile. Its IPs include EverQuest 1 and 2, PlanetSide 2, DC Universe, and The Lord of the Rings Online. I thought this was interesting because I was like, who the fuck is this company? And then I read the article and I was like, that's hilarious because I've never heard of them, but I know all those games.
Right.
And it's like, I agree with you, Mr. Shareholder. You no one fucking knows who you are.
I wonder. I was gonna say, I wonder if they rebranded, but they were founded in 2013. So yeah.
I'm assuming there probably was a bunch of companies that.
But
just
even from all that time, if you had ever asked me who made EverQuest, I could have never. I couldn't tell you. I still can't tell you.
Yep. Interesting. And now it is a good time, you know, with all the Lord of the Rings hubbub and shit. So.
Speaking of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Number four. Embracer Group revealed in its financial results that a strategic partnership it had been close to securing had unexpectedly been scrapped, leading the firm to lower its earnings forecast. CEO Lars Vingefors.
We got one back.
I 100% butchered that man's name, but I love it if it's that. Told investors that following a verbal commitment from the partner firm in October 2022, all documents had been finalized and the announcement was ready to go ahead of Embracer releasing its full year earnings. Embracer asked the partner to confirm it could go ahead with the execution of the announcement, but late into the night before the company, quote, received a negative outcome from the counterparty, unquote, according to Vingefors, something he said was, quote, unexpected to the management and board of directors of Embracer, end quote. When asked why the deal fell through, the CEO said he believes it was due to, quote, other decisions impacting the partner, rather, than the agreement itself and our work in this, end quote. The deal would have included more than $2 billion in contracted development revenues over the course of 6 years. So they were set up to make bank again.
Yep. And it fell through. Right. And their stock prices dropped by like 40%.
I think it was 40% once they found out it fell through.
Yeah.
It was insane.
It was wild. It sucks.
Maybe, I mean, hey, it could still come back, I guess, right?
Yeah. I wonder if it's weird with publicly traded companies. Do you think they're obligated to release that information or could he have just not said anything? You know what I mean? Like, it's.
He probably could have not said anything, but then they would have been screwed in the earning, like, because that would have left the earning. If he doesn't say anything and they don't have a reason to pivot their earnings number.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That was the catalyst, lower.
Yeah, like, hey, we lowered our earnings number, and everybody's like, well, why? And you're like, well, we had a giant deal fall through, and they're like, oh, okay. Well, then we're going to plummet this stock.
All right, that leads us into the PlayStation Showcase roundup. So I got all the games here. I got them in chronological order as they appear in the showcase. I have them marked with a CG or a GP if they are a CG trailer or a gameplay trailer or both. I also have them with a release date and then in what platforms they are going to be released on.
I will tell you right now, just you having done this, have done more than the showcase did.
And then also, I did throw some links in there in case we want like some reminder of what these games are. Because, yeah,
true,
I had the benefit. I did this today, so I have the benefit of I essentially rewatched the showcase because I put it up. Doubled the speed and then skip through as I needed. So how do you want to attack this?
I want to attack it one at a time.
All right.
Top to bottom.
Starting at the top, we have a game called Fair Games. All one word, stylized with a dollar sign as the S at the end. And this one is by Haven Studios.
Holy shit, they have a game.
They have a game. This is the Jade Raymond Studio. And it was a 100% CG trailer, had no release date, and it's for PS5 and PC. And apparently the deal with this game is it is a heist multiplayer.
Yeah, it had...
PvP heist game.
It had Cyberpunk's Watch Dogs vibes mixed with Payday vibes.
You're going to hate this when I say it. You're going to hate this game when I say it. This is 100% an Ubisoft game.
No, I don't hate that. I watched that and I went, oh, Ubisoft's making a new Watch Dogs.
Even down to the fucking name, the stylized.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, the whole thing. I was like.
Which makes 100% sense because Jade Raymond and most of the management at Haven is from Google. But prior to Google, they were at Ubisoft. So
if you want to watch what Ubisoft's been planning for the last 6 years, here you go.
Yep. They're looks like they're leaning into the whole eat the rich mentality.
Which is always ironic for
a multi-billion dollar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But either way, this is one of the ones I was intrigued by. Just because it is Haven. It's the first time we're seeing anything. It's a new game. And it had enough of it where I was like, I'm intrigued when we actually get to see gameplay, which immediately might shut me off. But I'm in enough to see that. You know what I mean? Like,
this one I stamped. There's a few here that I stamped this way. This one I stamped with objective curiosity.
Yeah. So this,
Just like, I'm interested to see where they're going with this, but I doubt I will like it or play it.
So I'm going to go Texas Hold'em style.
Okay.
I'm calling on the blinds so we can see the flop.
There you go. I get that reference. Surprisingly. I don't know why.
Wait, no. Flop Turn River?
You know what? I don't know, but I know that what you're saying essentially is I'm in just enough to see what happens next.
Yeah, I need to see the first three cards.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm just like, just show me what it is, and we'll see. I might fold immediately at that point, but I got to see it.
I'm going to say right off the bat, and the reason why, you probably know if you've listened to us enough, and you know enough about the video game industry, you probably realized right away about the information I included with each game that I'm clearly pointing out. I wanted to point out trends.
Is the trend that you only had to use the word, the initials GP, like six times maybe?
The trend is that there is a lot of CG.
There's a lot of CG in that.
There's not a whole lot of dates. And there's not a lot of PS5 exclusives. But you'll notice that as we go through, or we'll discuss it.
I was right. Flop Turn River.
Flop Turn River.
I had to make sure I had them right in order. That was going to bug me if I didn't.
So anyways,
that's how I'm going to reference the rest of this.
That's fine. Fair games, Ubisoft games, so you know, your typical bright lights, bright colors.
I like that that's just what we've come to associate them with. It's just
bright colors.
It's just bright color palette.
Bright color palette, you know, like, you know.
I need to see gameplay. I literally need to see gameplay, because without it, the trailer was like, okay, cool trailer, but show me something else.
Yep. No release date, obviously. Nope. I think I said that. Okay. Next up was Helldivers 2. This is from Arrowhead. It was CG and gameplay.
Minimal
gameplay. So that was the other thing. I had a hard time with the labeling of gameplay on this, because there was clearly some things that were... Never did you see... There was only one game I can think of off the top of my head. Well, I'll call them out as we go as well, that had straight gameplay in it. Where I was like, that's clearly gameplay. And
there's one I can think of off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's two. That number might go up as I keep remembering. But
the ones there's some that are like questionable, where it's like that's gameplay, but not like
this one was. It was at least in engine and being played, but there was no HUD, and
that was what I remember now. Go ahead.
There was no HUD, no other like details in it. It just looked like it was not CG anymore.
Yes. So they had a disclaimer at the bottom of the screen when there was gameplay that basically said that they had changed the camera angle so that you could better see what was going on, because it's an over the shoulder shooter, I think, but the way they presented it when they showed the gameplay was not 100% over the shoulder. It was like they pulled it back so you could see a little bit more.
Which is also... Did I interrupt you before we even finished?
I don't know.
Saying the rest of Helldivers.
Yeah, what's up?
Saying the rest of Helldivers.
Yep. Comes out in 2023. It's PS5 and PC. And yeah, it's Starship Troopers.
It's very Starship Troopers, but it's 100% not Helldivers.
No.
From what we know of Helldivers 1.
Yep. So this is a whole... This fucked me up because I watched the showcase. I went into work the next day and I go to discuss it with... Well, I watched the showcase and I got a text message that was like talking about Helldivers. And I was like, there was Helldivers in the showcase? And then like they were like, yeah, the one looked like Starship Troopers. And then I rewatched it. And I was like, that's not Helldivers. What the fuck is this?
Yeah. Because I was watching the entire trailer the entire time, and I was like, okay, I'm intrigued. And then it goes, be a Helldiver. And I was like, okay, so they gave up on the top-down.
Yep.
And when? So now I'm intrigued if third person is the way to play. But they did also show in the gameplay cuts the same mechanic with somebody laying down in front of you so you didn't just shoot your teammate in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know if you remember us playing Helldivers.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
But it was a shit show.
Yep.
People dropping turrets just clapping everybody else. It was a friendly fire nightmare. I think we killed each other more than the enemies killed us.
Yep. This one I'm curious about. But it's more, I don't know how to describe it now. It's like, it's not an objective curiosity. I'm curious because I'm interested.
Yes.
I have a little bit of skin in the game on this
one. I'm still seeing the flop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna stick there.
Okay.
On this one. I'm just here to see the flop because I need to see a price point, actual gameplay, not 2 second cuts of it. And
that's kind of where I'm at as well.
The PC part is a big sell for me. I like that.
Same.
So I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued as well.
But
and
if the price point is too high.
Here's the thing, though. If the price point is full game price point, but they're fleshing it out to be a full game, cool.
But what does that mean for Helldivers?
I don't know, but this is not what we know of as Helldivers. So like, it's kind of like a...
Helldivers, what we knew was free.
Yeah, so this is kind
and
of
then
like
$20, I think, was the price.
They kind of opened up the landscape a little bit on this, so yeah, I'm like,
it'll be intriguing.
Next up was Immortals of Avium from Ascendant Studios. It was CG and gameplay, which this one actually had what looked like more like had legit gameplay without the HUD. That has a July 20th release date. And it's PS5, PC, and Xbox. This was the magic one with the...
Yes, because this is an EA original.
There was a few of those.
The other thing to notice with this showcase is there's very little PlayStation-only stuff.
Yeah. Lots of... I think at least half the games are on Xbox as well.
Yeah.
And
Xbox
almost...
Xbox put out a tweet after the event ended and said, man, can't wait to see all these games on Xbox. And it was Teardown, Metal Gear, Immortals Avium. There was like a panel of like 12 or 15 games. All that just got announced and all that are going to be coming to Xbox. And it was like, all right. This game, I was initially intrigued before this showcase. I'm just like, okay, kind of seems like we might get like some type of RPG out of EA. Mm-hmm. See what it is. It's an original, so it's one of those EA originals are in, I believe, in the same vein of like when they get the third party studio and they just play publisher, which is how we got Sea of Solitude and how we got A Way Out, the love story game that I can't think of. It Takes Two. That type of stuff. And so to see this game come out of it, and I was like, all right, I'm kind of watching the trailer, and I'm like looking at some stuff, and I'm like, I think I'm going to fold.
This one I would fold on. It looks...
But I'm folding for me reasons.
Yeah, same.
It's not an us game.
Yes.
It doesn't look bad.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It actually looks surprisingly put together.
Yeah, and especially for a game that is coming out in July.
Yeah.
Looks like visually looked like it was ready to go. Obviously, if you go with the track record so far of big games this year, oh God, it might not be ready to go. But it still looked fine and everything. It's just immediately upon watching the trailer, I was like, oh, this is not a me game.
Yeah, yeah. Which was a feeling that stayed consistent through most of the showcase for me.
Yep. There's like four or five in here where I'm like, I am sticking with this terrible hand and I'm riding it out to the end.
Yep. I just want to add real quick, out of 32 games.
It's how many are in this list?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
7 are exclusive to Sony, but 4 or 5 of them are PSVR 2 games.
Interesting.
So there's only like 2 or 3 that are genuine PS5 only games.
That's what happens when we don't have Naughty Dog talk.
Yeah.
Did you bring that up, by the way, later?
No.
Okay, we'll talk about it.
Next on the list is Ghost Runner 2 by One More Level. That was CG and some rough gameplay. When I say rough gameplay, I mean it's like it was gameplay, but it was stylized in some way. There was no HUD shown or any actual true raw gameplay. If I say gameplay in here, just assume it means like it was in engine. An engine was shown, but either it was like a weird camera angle or whatever. 2023, nothing more specific, and it was PS5, PC, and another Xbox.
I'm gonna raise on this one. I'm ready to keep playing this hand.
Okay.
I'm not just calling. I'm not just sticking around. I'm upping it. Which I liked what I saw, and I liked Ghost Runner 1.
I think surprisingly, our opinions are fairly similar to what I saw online. Now, like assuming echo chambers and algorithms and all that is I'm like every other person. So I,
well, we build the algorithm, those. Whatever I say,
yeah,
will show up in your feed. So yeah.
But so far we, from what I've seen, our opinions are consistent with what I've seen online, and Ghost Runners 2 was one of the more popular, like, yeah, this
Ghost Runner 1 was a secret popular game.
Yeah.
Decent cult following for it. And when they announced 2 and then showing that and like all the play, I was like, yep, sign me up. This looks like it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I am in. I'm not all in, but I'm in.
Phantom Blade Zero. From a studio called S Game. That was CG, and what I'm pretty sure there was gameplay and like in-engine gameplay shown. It had no release date whatsoever, no release information. And that was a PS5 and PC game. Apparently there's other Phantom Blade games that I haven't heard of them, but I guess there are other Phantom Blade games, and this is some sort of like prequel. It's hitting that fad right now of the Souls games plus the samurai fad. So I don't know if you know the one I'm talking about.
I'm doing my best to just flip through for something really quick.
Yeah. It looked good. I mean, it's not something I'd probably play just because, yes, like,
okay, this game.
Yeah.
I had to find the one where it had the like YouTube links and just so I could see the thumbnail.
Yep. I think this is a Beijing studio or something.
Maybe. So the quick thought I had was, definitely taking into the samurai vibe and everything like that. But the combat and everything looked so fucking fluid and fast. And I was like, I'm really confused how the combat works.
Yeah. Yeah, I get what you're saying there, because it happens.
It was so fast and smooth that, like, button mashing doesn't seem like it's the way.
That's why that was the whole, like, I put gameplay with a question mark next to it, because I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah,
something's like, weird here.
Because it seems like, okay, maybe it is gameplay, but is it gameplay where you're button mashing and each of your sword slices is an attack? Or is it one where you parry and then you do a sequence? Or so I'm like, I don't... It's clearly an engine in play, but there's no HUD, so I don't know how anything is happening. I'm like, all right, we'll have to see. It looked interesting. I'm probably out because it's not our type of game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very intrigued to see what this comes out as.
Same. I'm kind of wondering if it's going to be another one of those.
Because it seemed faster Sekiro.
Yes, it did.
Like, not. I don't know about any of the Souls-like aspects, because there were no big bosses and no, like, you know, death penalty or whatever. But it was that samurai quick fighting. But then this was, what if we gave that cocaine?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know what that means. And they're like, well, watch this trailer.
I think this one is a Chinese studio, and we've had an influx of Chinese games, like, from Chinese studios, and they've all looked,
we've had an influx of trailers.
Yes.
Wukong's still not out yet.
Yeah. So that was what I was going to say, was they all look amazing, and I'm just kind of curious if they're going to all end up, they all seem to be following the same trend where, like, you see a couple trailers and they go viral and it's all like, wow, this game looks amazing, and then nothing happens. Nothing becomes of it.
True. You're right.
Next up was Sword of the Sea from Giant Squid. It was CG and what I'm assuming is gameplay based on what it is and who the art director is and everything. No release date, PS5 and PC. This was the Journey game.
Yes. So, my question to you. Are you in?
No, because it looks like Journey. Like,
right, but you love Journey.
I love Journey, but I...
Now, my question has always been this, and I might have asked it before, but I'm going to ask it again. Do you love Journey, or do you love the experience you had in the one-time shot of Journey? In that, like, moment in a vacuum, is that the thing?
Yeah, I think the experience of Journey
at the
is
time,
great.
Then
I would guess now as well, as long, like, if you never played the game,
if you weren't me and you weren't just like stubborn with everything.
Yes. Yes. If you were just in whatever, and because you're like, guess, oh, get Journey free, guess, or oh, Journey, $10.
I guess the difference for me would be, because it's the same person. It's the same art director, I believe.
It is.
Was Abzu.
Yes.
And Abzu for me was Journey.
Yes.
Because I hadn't heard 9,000 fucking years of it first. And then I played it, and I was like, this is just really pretty, and I want to exist here for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. So, exactly. So,
but
if
I had the
so,
the
I played Journey.
You got the genuine find of that in Journey.
I did Journey, but I skipped every... I didn't do Abzu.
And you didn't do...
Flower.
Flower, as I said, the other... The actual sequel.
And I didn't... I'm not going to do Sword of the Sea, because they're all the same fucking thing. So, like, if you do one, you got them all covered. And Sword of the Sea is even more so than Abzu or Flower or whatever other ones they are, because it looks I can't say it enough. Like, I thought it was Journey 2.
Yeah.
Is this Journey 2? And then it was like Sword of the Sea. And I was like,
until they put the whales from Abzu in the sky, and I was like, well, now I'm confused.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, so
we'll just put them all together.
I'm sure it'll be nice, and I'm sure it'll be good if it's cheap and you haven't played Journey or any of the other games, by all means. But
I mean, the art will be good and everything else. Yeah. It'll be right there. But it's just like, I watched it. I was like,
and maybe I don't know. Maybe some of these games do hit you in different ways, but I have the distinct feeling that all these games hit you in the exact same way and make you feel the exact same thing.
Yeah, probably.
And if they were like
really good at achieving that emotion.
Yeah. If they were different emotions or different stories or different, you know, feelings, that'd be something different. But I, based on the music, based on
art,
the art and like the whole ambiance the trailer had, it 100% was replicating Journey.
Yep. I agree.
So yeah, that's all. I'm a hard pass for me on that one. I'm sure it'll be good, but it's just, I'm a tough customer.
Fucking hey, yeah, you're not wrong about that. You won difficult.
anything on Sword of the Sea?
Nope.
Okay. Next up was the Talos Principle 2 from Crow Team. It was a CG trailer. It had a 2023 release day or release year, I guess, which whatever. And then PS5, PC, and Xbox. Not much to say on this one, other than it was like a.
So here's what I'll say on it. I didn't realize it existed.
Okay.
Watched the entire showcase, didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Saw that this was like on these lists. I was like, don't fucking remember that happening.
Yep.
And what I will say is I've never played Talos Principle 1. Talos Principle has been on Steam sales for the last 10 years. On the front page, every fucking time, summer, winter, Rosh Hashanah, all the Steam sales that exist, every time Talos Principle is on there. And I have avoided it still to this day to play it.
I know that it exists for the exact same reason. I literally know nothing else about it.
And it's one of the few games on a Steam sale Matt hasn't convinced me to buy.
Ha.
Get that? That's a callback joke to... Oh, God, that's 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. Oh, longer than that, maybe.
No, it's about 10 years ago. Oh, I don't like that I did that. I shouldn't do math anymore.
I mean, the CG trailer like got me, but I'm pretty sure like I liked it because, you know, it hit all the cool things like, oh, post-apocalyptic, like destroyed society with robots walking around. And
yeah. Yeah,
I was like, ooh, I like that, but...
Hey, name a better Fallout vibe.
Yeah. So, but will I play it? Or probably not, because I don't know what it is. But we'll see more at some point, I'm sure. Next up was Neva from Nomada Studio. It was a CG trailer, had a 2024 release date, and it's PS5, Xbox, and Switch.
It's from the developer that did Grease.
Yes.
Which I didn't play. But also, even watching this one, I was like, yep, not me.
Same. Which is kind of the problem with this whole showcase.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that. But when I say not me for this one, like, I don't have a redeeming, like, it looked fine, but it's just like, I don't have a reason why it's not me. But I don't have any reason why it would even be close to something I'd be interested in.
Yeah, yeah. We'll probably get into... We'll get into... Once we talk about all the games, we'll get into probably final thoughts on the whole showcase. Because that's kind of like... Yeah, yeah.
The whole showcase could be summed up if we didn't want to go... If I didn't specifically request Matt to do this in chronological order so we could go through every single game, the entire showcase could be summed up right now as... We're out on everything but, like, Spider-Man and Destiny and, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed was there. Cool. It's the same thing, trailer we've already seen.
The thing that's frustrating about this showcase is that...
It's a state of play.
Yes, that's exactly it. All the games look like they're good. Like, they all look like they ran good. They look like they're... Like, you know, their games are on... The showcase on its own would be fine... If it was presented in a way that this showcase warranted. Like, I think everyone was on the same page that when we were going into the showcase, we were expecting like heavy hitters or some heavy hitters.
So I think you and I might have been the two correct pessimists in the media industry that we don't exist in, where everybody's like, oh, they're doing a showcase. So it's going to clearly be this, 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 and this. And I'm like, none of those things are going to get shown. It's going to be everything you already know, and then it's going to be a bunch of random things, because there's no way that they actually will pull out the guns.
Yeah.
And then they didn't, and everybody's like, man, that's really disappointing. And I'm like, it's
well, the other much, issue, too,
it's
is
disappointing, but it's what I expected.
The other issue, too, though, is like there was a few cases where Jim Ryan hyped up the showcase, which is what he's supposed to do. But like if they would have taken a different tact, or if they would have said, if we knew that this was happening, but then they were also like, we have a second showcase planned on this day.
If they called it a state of play and then said, tune into the showcase happening on June whatever.
Yes.
Would have been amazing.
People would have been like,
you would have gone, this is a great pre-show. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in the showcase.
That's exactly my thoughts.
When you do a showcase, the words to me showcase mean
you're bringing your fucking A game.
We're going to get 2016 God of War-esque moments where you're actually getting a person sitting down and playing like a 6-minute cut of a game or more. And like, there's a finished game in front of you with a HUD and they're moving through it. And you're seeing ability, you're like actually playing the game, not 2-second cuts of everything. And then a bunch of CG and then the Destiny one, which we'll get to eventually, was a fucking trailer to announce a showcase for more Destiny. What the fuck?
All right. So next up was Cat Quest.
Hell yes. Let's go.
Cat Quest. By the Gentle Bros. It was gameplay 2024. And it's literally on everything. Everything.
But did you say what the subtitle is?
I did not.
Come on.
I remember it being interesting, but I didn't write it down.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Pirates of the Caribbean. This is one of the games that was like...
they were all pirates.
That was obviously like, okay, that's how this game's going to play.
Yeah, it's Cat Quest. Yep. Oh, and you're pirates.
Yep.
Sign me up. I don't know why we're still here. I'm in.
And when I say everything, it's on mobile as well. iOS, Android, everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
I'm going to play it on my phone.
I'm
taking a
shit. You probably will. So there you go. Cat Quest, good. Next up.
Yeah.
Nate's favorite.
No, it's not.
Foam Stars.
Wasn't the worst one at the showcase, but oh boy.
Foam Stars by Square Enix. And this was CG and some gameplay, I think, some in-engine stuff. No release date. And it's PS5 and PS4.
Mistake.
And this is one of those games where it's like, this is going to die in 2 weeks.
So, what game is it actually?
It's Splatoon, essentially.
Good job.
It's like a hero shooter Splatoon.
Yes. All of that to say, the CG in the beginning that they lead into it with, I was like, okay, hero shooter, interesting. Oh, they have like foam mechanics, like put a screen and whatever. Okay, that's fine. And then the moment they went to gameplay, I went, oh God, no, oh no, 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 no. Why does this look like shit? Why are you playing Splatoon? What the fuck is happening right now? And I immediately was out.
Yeah.
I folded.
This is one of those games.
I'm getting up from the table. Getting everybody the two deuces, and I'm out.
This is one of those games where I don't understand how it made it to production. This was one of those ideas that the only way that I could understand why Square is putting this out is if it cost very little to develop, very little resources to develop, and they're...
But Square sold all their other stuff.
I know. That's the part, yeah. Obviously, that I'm trying to make excuses for them when there's no excuse.
This might be the last IP they had. They just didn't have anything else except for the other one that we're going to talk about in like 3.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the thing. After that was The Plucky Squire by All Possible Futures. That was another one that was just straight gameplay. 2023, PS5, Xbox, Switch, and PC.
So we've seen Plucky Squire before.
Mm-hmm.
It was announced, I believe, last year.
Yeah,
saw the trailer then.
There's a couple like that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. this was an extended trailer of that. And I will say this: I'm still interested. I was weirdly kind of finding myself being like, I could kind of vibe with this.
Yeah, it kind of gave me. It reminded me of the feelings I had when I played Fez.
Sure. Yes, I get that. I think people that played Tunic, even though that's more of a, like a Legend of Zelda, old school Legend of Zelda, would also kind of get that vibe. It's just going to be a casual vibe chill game with like some Paper Mario vibes.
Mm-hmm. It has some interesting like
jump off of the page, walk around. Now you're
interesting mechanic there where kind of you get a fresh
perspective
take on
changes them. And so yeah, I found myself being like, you know what, if this lands correctly, price wise and service wise and yada yada, I might give it a go.
What'll be interesting is if it's on Game Pass.
Yep. Wait for two more Sundays from now when we get the Xbox showcase and that Game Pass reel is 30-something games long.
Yeah. After the Plucky Squire was Teardown from Tuxedo Labs.
Also, I've seen this before.
Gameplay 2023 is coming out on PS5, Xbox, and it's already available on PC.
I believe it's technically pre-release.
Like early access. Yeah.
Because Teardown is something I'm interested in. The only problem I have with Teardown is the price needs to be correct, and we should stop saying that because that's true for so many games. The price needs to be correct because if it's not $70, then what are you gonna do? But the part that concerns me with Teardown, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's just like the from the outsider looking at it worry that I have is that it would run into a Human Fall Flat situation. Where once you get through the X amount of levels they give you,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's enough there for me to keep going.
Yeah.
The physics look amazing, and all the different ways you can solve the problems look pretty cool, but I'm not a great replayability candidate.
No. Yeah, I don't know. That's a weird one.
But if it's priced correctly, I would 100% give it a go for that time, because Human Fall Flat, 100%, I'm buying that. It's a great time.
Yeah, Human Fall Flat was great. There's a shit ton of levels in Human
Fall
Flat.
There are. Before, there weren't.
Yes.
So, again, if Teardown has that same path where eventually they have 30 maps, I'm like, yeah, sign me up. Let's go. Mm. But Human Fall Flat was $20 with 6 maps.
Yeah.
And it was still a great time for that time. For that amount of money plus content, was an amazing time.
Yeah. It was enjoyable. I played it twice.
And we played some of the Halloween stuff or whatever too.
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point we resurrected Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, we gotta go back to that at some point.
Yeah, there's the winter maps. Never did those.
After that was, I guess, what you consider one of the bigger ones: Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater Remake. Obviously from Konami. It was a CG trailer. It was a cool CG trailer, actually. No release date, PS5, Xbox, and PC.
I think I'm out on the idea that it was a cool CG trailer.
It was cool. I like the ambiance of it.
I like the ambiance. I liked the message. Like yes. The pathway to get there was pretty cool. Yeah. But then I was still like hoping for like the next thing like that to actually lead into more than just a splash screen announcement, and that to lead into like, hey, here's another quick slice cut of like the game running in a remastered state type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Remade state.
They'll be at the Xbox showcase.
Couple things that are interesting.
Yes.
Obviously, we know Kojima's not working on it because he, doesn't work at Konami anymore. Deal, thanks to, years ago. Two, I don't think we know what dev team is working on it.
I haven't
specifically
seen.
Because I'm pretty sure they put out a statement that said, hey, that just was like, hey, happy that we're remastering it, and we hope to do it good by everybody. And it was signed to the development team. And I'm pretty sure Keeley tweeted at them, so who's the development team? And then nobody answered. So they're hiding who's developing it, which is...
probably because no one's developing it.
Which is potentially scary. And then it's 3. I'm not a Metal Gear person, so I'm not the person to ask about this, but is that the one you start with?
No.
No, like, I mean, like, technically you start with the number one, but, like, if you're a fan base, would you want one done first?
That was the other part at the end of that, though, was that I think they're doing...
there's the collection.
Yeah.
But that's not remakes.
It's remasters, right?
Right.
And then there was a rumor that... and then Konami hinted that they're doing a 4.
Yeah, so it's just, like, they're poor messaging all around.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know enough about Metal Gear to know like that either. If that's like, if doing three is a good thing or it doesn't make sense.
Right. Yeah. Because like, if you're gonna remake,
you would think you'd start at one.
Like when you do Resident Evil, yeah, you do one.
But who knows?
When you remake Minecraft, you do Minecraft 1.
Also interesting that it's coming out on Xbox.
Yeah. I was just like, okay.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because like the showcase was more of a win for Xbox than anything else. Like,
yeah. And with enough time to, with like enough time being 2 weeks till Xbox thing, where they can go, oh, they did a lot of this. We can now shorten this to 10 seconds and go bing, and then now spend more time doing something else.
It was kind of like a, I feel like it was almost like an Xbox like flex to be like, that was all good stuff, but it didn't warrant being in our showcase.
We have all that too. Yeah. But we got this.
Next up was Tower of Agahazba. Whatever the fuck that means. By Dreamlit. It was CG and gameplay coming out summer 2024. PS5 and PC. I don't remember this one. I got nothing on this one.
It was the action-adventure builder game set in a unique fantasy world. Players are challenged to rebuild their civilization and ecosystem, maintaining a balance between the two. So you were like placing buildings down and whatever. It almost looked kind of building, like full buildings instead of just like brick by brick. Like you're doing whole things like city building and whatever.
I don't remember this.
I remember this one. And I was not interested.
Okay. Maybe I just shut it out. It was too painful for me.
No city building. No. I can't go back.
After that was Final Fantasy 16 from Square Enix. It was a CG trailer. June 22nd. PS5. Was there gameplay in there too? I don't remember.
I think
that was just CG.
I think it was all CG. It looked pretty.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously for sure. It would.
It's coming out soon,
too. That's kind of like... That's kind of their thing, is to look pretty.
This was one of the only ones that was exclusive to PS5.
It was very funny to watch it, and I was like, man, that looks really pretty.
I have no fucking clue what's going on, and I'm not going to play it.
Yeah, I was like, I have no idea what's going on. It sounds like a bunch of gods and demons fighting, which sounds cool. But I have absolutely no interest otherwise, though, because here's another problem that will rear its head again later. I'm like, man, all this moment-to-moment stuff looks pretty cool, and I know that the in-between is going to be so JRPG that I will not be able to handle it.
Yep. Oh, Final Fantasy, you fuck. After Final Fantasy, it was Alan Wake 2 from Remedy. It was CG and some in-engine stuff. October 17th, this one's coming out. And it's PS5, Xbox, and PC. Alan Wake 2. Looked good if you're an Alan Wake fan.
I'm all in.
He's all in on Alan Wake?
I mean, I'm all in is probably too far, but like, I liked Alan Wake 1.
Yeah.
Didn't play American Nightmare. Liked Control.
That's what I was going to say.
Still Remedy, and this one looks good, and I'm like, yeah, I'm in.
That's what I was going to say, is Remedy seems to be hot lately, so. And this looks
streets.
Yeah. This one did look good. It did look good.
And it looks like they're going to do a multiple storyline, like multiple perspective.
Yep. So, that one will be, yeah. That'll be interesting. I never played the first Alan Wake, so I will probably not do this one, but I'm sure I'll see it.
Horror game.
Yeah, that too. I'm sure I'll hear and see enough of it to get a good feel for it. Next up, everyone's favorite. Assassin's Creed Mirage from Ubisoft. It was a CG and in-engine trailer. October 12th. PC, Xbox, and PS.
All of that makes sense. Quick couple things. Game looked great. I expect it to. Yeah. Assassin's Creed should look good.
It's a stripped down version of Assassin's Creed.
In quotes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a throwback to the original Assassin's Creed. Right.
And the other part of this is they showed some new fighting style. That was good. Also, whatever frame rate the trailer was running at, the game 110% needs to run at that frame rate because it was so much smoother than any Assassin's Creed recently.
I'm glad I wasn't the only person to notice that. I was like, I don't think Assassin's Creed normally plays like this.
I'm watching it. I'm like, this is unbelievably smooth.
Mm-hmm.
What fucking frame rate did they?
My first thought was I was watching it and I was like, has it been a long time since I played an Assassin's Creed game? Because this is giving me that itch. And then I was like watching it a little, you know, watching. I'm like, it does not normally play like this.
Yeah, no, it was way too smooth. But like in a good way. Like that, yeah. That's what you should be doing.
Yeah. I'm skeptically curious because
I'm in.
I mean, it's an Assassin's Creed game. I'm gonna get it and play it.
Which by default means I'm in.
I hate it. I hate myself when I do this. But
I'm my own worst enemy.
If it is genuinely a throwback to, you know, the first couple Assassin's Creed games, but also up to modern standards, I will be pleasantly surprised, Ubisoft. Don't fuck this up.
Your bar by existing is a 5 out of 10. Existing.
Yes.
You need this to be 9.5.
Yeah. Yeah, if you nail this one,
we'll stop the takeover a little bit.
Yeah, we'll at least pause and let you.
But the takeover partnership of Nate and Matt is coming at any moment. But Yves Guillemot.
Listen, if you release this as good and let us enjoy it without immediately trying to shove Skull and Bones down our throat.
No, they're not going to do that. They're going to announce Assassin's Creed Infinite in December. 2 months after this game comes out.
When you beat Assassin's Creed Mirage, you'll just get the Infinite trailer.
It'll end in a cutscene that is the coming soon is the Infinite trailer.
Yeah.
And then it'll unlock the beta for Skull and Bones, which doesn't have a release date on it.
God.
That'd be even better. They're like, hey, thanks for playing Assassin's Creed Mirage. You have unlocked early beta access for Skull and Bones. And they're like,
son of a bitch.
When can I download it? And they're like, shh. No, you can't. We just need to say we have a bunch of people getting beta access. That's all. Need to pump up our numbers.
All right. Let's get away from Ubisoft.
We got a lot. So,
Revenant Hill was an up next from the Glory Society.
Straight up, absolutely no idea what the fuck was happening in this
game. CG trailer, I believe.
Yo, probably gameplay.
I don't remember this one now that I'm reading it again. No release date, PS5, PC. Oh, okay, yeah, the one with the cat on the thumbnail.
The cat that walks around, you see in the background, yes. Angry mob getting shot.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was gameplay. And then I looked into it.
It was definitely CG in quotes. But I'm also betting that that's artistically the gameplay as well.
I thought that was the case, which is why I was skeptical. And then when I searched a little bit about it, I saw screenshots and that the gameplay is different looking. So I think that might be like a cutscene thing.
Maybe. Either way, I was out.
Yeah, I'm out on that one. Out on the next one too. Which is Grand Blue Fantasy Relink from Psy Games.
JRPG! It's a blue!
Gameplay, 2023, PlayStation to PC.
So.
Yes.
I was intrigued watching this.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fighting and stuff, if this is the game I think it was, this was the one that had the fighting of like the giant enemies, almost Dauntless-like, where you're fighting a giant enemy that had one big health bar that when you did enough damage, basically the health bar changed colors until you were on their final one type of thing.
Okay.
If this is the one I'm thinking of, I'm going to, hold on. You know what? I'm going to do something I should do before I just run my fucking mouth. I don't do this often.
Play a video. I mean, it's either that one or Tower of Fantasy.
I think the one I'm thinking of is Tower of Fantasy.
Tower of Fantasy's out already, so.
I'm now checking Tower of Fantasy. Hold on.
Please hold.
I need to confirm my statement before I
I dig my hole any further.
Which one had the guy in the mech?
I don't.
Tower of Fantasy. That was the answer to that question.
All right, so we'll hold that comment until we get to Tower of Fantasy.
I'm going to hold that comment until I get there. But I will say that Granblue did look JRPG and looked... it did look interesting and like visually looked good. So I was like, I could see people really liking this.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them.
Yep. I generally feel that way about everything in this list. Nothing looked particularly
I feel that
like
way about JRPGs just as a whole. So.
Yeah. Then there was Street Fighter VI from Capcom, which was a CG trailer. June 2nd, that one's coming out for PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
I am so in.
He's in on Street Fighter VI. All right.
You want to know what's weird about that statement, though?
Yes.
I'm so fucking not in.
Okay. I'm confused.
I am so in because this game looks awesome.
Okay.
It's Street Fighter. It's Street Fighter VI. Guile's on the fucking deck of an aircraft carrier.
Again?
It's just America all over the place. It's tropey. It looks like it is going to be such a good Street Fighter for people. I'm hoping that all the actual fighter community really likes it because I want to see it get played by people that don't have 4 feet.
Yeah.
And they're not named Dalsim.
Yeah. But so you're in here, on it being a thing.
I'm in here as like, this game should be really good. And I would love to get it just to like play through the story where I'm like, I'm just going to punch the AI and have some fun. And like, wee, look at me in my corner of joy. Yeah. And I would never step foot against another person ever.
Yeah.
Because I'm not getting my ass beat 24/7.
Yeah, I'm, you know,
but it looks awesome.
I hope it's good for everyone else, but it's not for me.
I just hope it's really good because I want to watch people play it. I will just open up Twitch streams, just put them on mute and just have them as like my side monitor of watching people play Street Fighter. Because it's the same thing when Dragon Ball FighterZ came out that was done in the same art style as the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, this is great.
Well,
when Injustice
know,
was around, it was great.
We'll know by this time next week, because that's
Evo
when
happens,
it comes out.
I'm in.
All right.
I'm always there. I'm always watching.
Watching everything. He's watching you.
Private. Watching you. You don't know that song?
No.
Do you not remember the... Oh, God. What insurance company was that? Geico, maybe, without the gecko, because it was the dollar bills with, like, the eyes.
If the gecko wasn't involved, I shut
watching
it off from my memory.
You. I don't know how you don't know the song.
Watching.
It's going to be stuck in my head now. Anyway, let's move on.
Next up was Ultros by Hatakue. It had some gameplay. 2024, PS5 and PC.
I'm intrigued.
This one had the crazy art style, I believe.
Yes,
right?
It did. Mm. And you want to know why I'm very intrigued?
Tell me.
Because it's the creative visionary behind Hotline Miami.
Ah, okay.
Very good two games. So, and they're never making a third one. So I will take this and we'll see what it does.
All right. After that was Tower of Fantasy from Hoda Studios, which was CG and gameplay. It's coming out this summer on PS5. It's already out on PC and mobile, and it's free to play.
So I might have to give it a shot, because it looked Dauntless-esque with the giant enemy, multi-level health bars, and just combat happening all the time. Some dude was in a mech, and he started shooting, and then he flew above, and he shoot down. And I go, ooh, yay, big color, yay, number.
Big number suit.
But if there's too much... If it's too much Dauntless, where like you're just kind of killing the same two bosses over and over, and I'm like, yeah, I don't care anymore. So I might have to look a little bit further into this one, but I was intrigued.
All right. That one's going on the research list.
Yep. And the downside is that it's probably too much to JRPG, and I lose my mind.
That's a strong possibility.
Yep.
Following that was Dragon's Dogma 2 from Capcom. It was a CG and in-engine trailer. No release date. PS5, Xbox, and PC.
Did you ever play the first one?
I did not.
Neither did I. I'm kind of meh on this.
Yeah, I'm not. Like everything else on this list, I'm not particularly interested. Five Nights at Freddy's.
It didn't rustle my jimmies. You know
what I mean? It didn't. It didn't give me the fizz.
Ooh, that's a good one. Give me fizz.
Speaking of getting the fizz, you know what I drove by on the way here?
The fizz?
A black with white striped Dodge Viper.
Like double racing down the middle stripe?
Yes. Not the new, the Dodge Viper GTS, the bubbly one.
Oh.
That's one I like. Not the first gen one.
Oh, okay.
The second gen one, the first gen coupe.
Okay, yeah.
That was like, had the curves.
Yeah. We like curves.
Yeah, it was nice. Oh, it was nice. anyways, Five Nights at Freddy's, Help Wanted 2 from Steel Wool Games, CG trailer, very short. Coming out in 2023, and it's PSVR 2. We're into the PSVR 2 games.
Yeah. I don't care.
Same. Resident Evil 4 Remake VR mode trailer from Capcom, which was CG and gameplay. No release date, and it's obviously VR 2.
Looked good.
It did look good. That's the one caveat to the PSVR games, as they all look too good.
You want to know what the part that really pissed me off about that one, though?
What's that?
What'd they end the trailer with?
I don't recall.
The words in development.
Oh, yeah. No one knows what that means.
That means that they had literally not even a timetable for you.
Yeah, PSVR 2 is an interesting beast. After that was Arizona Sunshine 2 from Vertigo Games. It was CG trailer, 2023.
I'm really confused as to what this will be.
It's just a zombie.
Yeah, okay, cool. You kill zombies, but like, with all the stuff that they were doing with the amount of like physics and like playfulness with the zombies, it didn't seem like there was much movement through the world and that you just kind of existed instead.
To me, it looks like it's going to be in the same vein as like a Boneworks or, you know, like a sandbox zombie. You know,
yeah.
Here's a bunch of things. Figure out ways
to have fun with it.
Yeah, have fun. Yeah. After that was Crossfire Sierra Squad for PlayStation VR from Smilegate. CG, and I think there was some gameplay in there.
There was.
And then no release date.
No, and I watching this one, I'll say it straight up, that Unreal 5 game ruined this. Because when I watch this happening in VR now with Crossfire Sierra Squad, I'm like, this doesn't look anywhere near as good as that other game does. And that other game obviously looks like real life. So it's kind of a hard level.
It is. I mean,
But it did look like a VR shooter.
That's kind of the issue with VR titles is like they don't look good. Like that game doesn't.
It looks like
you're 100% right. When you see something like the Unreal, what the hell was that game called?
I thought it was jokingly called Unreal.
Maybe it was. Maybe it was Unreal.
Because that was the joke, because it was called Unreal, and it was made in Unreal.
You look at it, and you're like, oh, that doesn't look real, you know, whatever. And then when you put it in, like, a VR environment, though, if it even looks, like,
remotely good. If it gives you enough to disconnect, it's over.
Yeah. And that's kind of the issue with VR titles, is, like, there's no way to represent that. There's no way to, like, give anyone that feeling.
True.
After that was Synapse from End Dreams, which was gameplay. That's coming out July 4th.
So I got a problem with this one.
Yes.
Because I was in.
You're in.
I mean, I don't own a VR headset, but like, I was really intrigued because I liked the idea. Endless loop, you know, get through. Yeah,
it kind of had super hot vibes a little bit.
A little bit. The thing I don't know, yes. I'm trying to read the... I want to know if you're on rails. because if you watch that, the movement of the VR, not just like the objects the person was interacting with, but like of yourself, all of it was unbelievably too smooth for VR. Where when you watch Crossfire, you go, okay, yeah, that's VR. But when you watch the gameplay of Synapse, you're like, there's absolutely no fucking way that's VR. It's all just too smooth unless they were putting you on rails and then you're dealing with the objects. Then they can be that smooth.
Maybe. I don't know. I see what you're saying. I don't know. You're kind of, that's like another issue with VR too. Mm-hmm. So you kind of got to be upfront about that shit.
A little bit.
After that, that's the end of the VR titles. Then we're into one. I wasn't expecting this one. I didn't think it would be ready. Next up was Marathon by Bungie.
Wait, do you jump out of VR at that point?
Yep.
Beat Saber?
Why wasn't that on the list? This is why.
Beat Saber is coming to PSVR too. So hey, good news.
Yep. And then it has Queen.
There's a Queen pack.
Yep, Queen pack.
Having a good time.
Beat Saber is classic.
But yeah, that was just the last thing.
All right, then we're in a Marathon from Bungie. It was a little CG trailer. No date. And that'll be PS5, Xbox, and PC.
I'm intrigued.
It's Bungie. It's Marathon. So I'm also intrigued.
It's Marathon, which most people are not going to remember.
I'm assuming you read what it is. You saw what it is. You know what it is.
It's a sci-fi extraction shooter. You know who else is making an extraction shooter? Doc.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say, I guess, you know, pull the hat out and pick someone from a hat.
Division.
There's a bunch of them.
Tarkov is an extraction shooter. Mm-hmm. But this is Bungie. Bungie post Halo, and some would argue that they were obviously the best Halo games, but post Halo, when they launched Destiny and Destiny 2, and they started using, because they were pulling in people from like Infinity Ward or whatever, to have Call of Duty shooting, they have some of the best pure shooting, like physics and gunplay and everything.
Yep.
So, it's a sci-fi extraction shooter. Nobody is going to remember Marathon from all those years ago.
Correct.
That only the nerds will.
Yep.
Small slice of the pie.
Yeah. In case you're curious, Marathon, well, Bungie got their start with Marathon, and true. That was on Mac.
That's true. But I'm intrigued. I'm in. I want to see what it is. I want to see gameplay.
Yeah. I have a couple questions.
But
right off the bat, what's the engine?
Probably the Destiny engine.
Which would be a mistake, I think.
Probably, but I don't, unless they went to, unless they 100% committed to, say, something like Unreal, or they went and got another one from one of the PlayStation studios, there's no way they're going to divert from their own engine.
Because, I know.
Because messing around, as we've seen, EA, with other people's engines that you don't understand, EA, is a really bad fucking idea, EA.
The only saving grace in this situation is Sony is weirdly good about resource sharing, and like
they're really good about it, but if you still don't know how to
manipulate
the engine, it's not going to matter.
Yeah. So I'm curious about that.
Especially when you have all the good shooting physics already.
I know, but the big issue with the Destiny engine is they always struggled to make content quick enough on it because it wasn't modular enough. Yeah.
Which they still could have said, okay, we're going to do Creation Engine 2 vibes for the next game and start making a bunch of things modular.
Yeah, which, if that's what they did, cool. So I'm concerned about that. Other than that, I'm super curious. I'm super interested because I do have a soft spot for Bungie. And
same.
As
much as I shit on them.
I'm not an FPS person, but I fucking love Bungie, and specifically Destiny's gunplay.
Yes.
Like, it was always fun to play.
It's some of, objectively, here's, I'm going to get shit for this. Here's my top three gunplays, period. Apex, Call of Duty, Bungie.
Yeah.
And I say Bungie because I'm going to count Halo 3 and Destiny.
Which I think that's fair.
Obviously, pure gunplay goes to stuff like Counter-Strike. I'm not arguing that. Mm-hmm. I just like the feel for the quick shooters of the other ones versus like tactical shooters. Then it gets a little different.
The other thing I'm concerned about is the Marathon IP and the way they're presenting the Marathon IP is extremely similar to Destiny.
Yes.
The ship hanging over the planet, which looks like Earth, you know, like it just all looks very similar. Planet sticking through the moon, that type of thing. What else did I want to say about Marathon? I think that's it. Yeah, we'll see. Extraction shooter. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, true.
And then there was Destiny 2, The Final Shape from Bungie, which was CG, no release date, PS, Xbox, PC. And that one had Cade 6 in it. And it was just a little trailer, little teaser.
Specifically Fillion's Cade 6.
Yes. Is there a different Cade 6? I don't know how this works.
I think there were rumors that... Or no, because he was dead. I was going to say, it was rumors that it was Nolan North at one point. But
Yeah, so he comes back, and I guess it's... From what I read somewhere, it's a new area, and Cade 6 is only in that area. It sounds like kind of like a afterlife situation.
Yeah. Or almost more specifically like a Limbo.
Yeah. Purgatory.
That's what I was looking for. Yeah. The time between...
So yeah,
like, oh, there's the Final Shape or whatever. And then they announce a showcase to go learn more about the Final Shape and the future of Destiny 2.
Yes. That's the part that's dumb about this is it was an announcement for an announcement.
Yep. Happening on August 22nd. So if you care about Destiny anymore at this point, go watch that.
Hopefully they're alluding. Hopefully the name of this, the Final Shape, is alluding to...
So there was apparently they were asked about that, and they're like, "There's more Destiny 2 or something like that." But we're gonna talk about everything kind of in August, and I read it as you can't call it the Final Shape and then go, "But wait, there's one more." Is the next expansion name? But if they actually did that, I'd be okay. If they actually named the next expansion after the Final Shape, but wait, there's one more.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, "All right, yeah, no, I'm like okay with that." Like you understand, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
It'd
be interesting if they'd said, okay, the Final Shape, and then we have 2 years of seasons planned.
That would be a mistake.
It would be a mistake, but seems like the most likely thing they'd do.
That's true. They would have to say the Final Shape, and then we have one more DLC coming that is the final one. And it is the final one that is like Journey to the Beyond or something stupid. Like,
yeah.
Something to push you as almost an ending to 2, but a prelude to 3 at the same time.
Yeah. I'm slightly concerned about the fact that they are going to try to run 2 live service games at the same time.
They did get a lot bigger, though.
Oh, yeah. They're way fucking bigger, but...
And Sony exists now.
Yep.
So all these studios that they keep killing can just be support studios for Bungie instead of Naughty Dog.
Naughty Dog already has like 10, so.
Yeah, and they already cut back production on their last game, so fine. Problem solved.
Next up was Concord from Firewalk Studios, which was a CG trailer. It's supposed to be out in 2024, PS5 and PC. Was there much even shown on this?
Not really. It was enough where I was like, I'm interested, but I don't...
Oh, yeah, this is the one where it was like you're kind of in a spaceship, and it was
So I was like, I'm interested, but I can only play so many shooters at once.
All right, then they started to wrap up, so we got to... they showed PlayStation Project Q, the streaming handheld.
Thoughts?
I was extremely annoyed that they didn't have like literally any details about it. Like if you're going to tell us, if you're going to finally reveal this and you don't fucking tell us like a release date or a price,
and you show a mock-up essentially,
get the fuck out of here.
No, literally no details otherwise.
Yeah.
Not even just price and release date. No, what type of screen is that? What's its resolution?
Mm-hmm. They released those details like to the media, I believe, But like, if you're going to show a hardware thing in that way, show it and then either have a release date or have the price and the release date.
Yeah.
Or just have the price.
Have,
I don't know.
Have the, we'll have more at our future hardware event.
On this day.
On this day. See how you're already doing that? Because also, where the fuck's your external drive that you were talking about?
So, I guess it's an 8-inch screen, and it's 1080p. 60 hertz.
Not OLED.
Yeah.
Mistake.
I don't mind it. I don't, if it's an LCD screen. I won't mind it if the price is right.
So, what do we think the price is?
What do we... What should the price be?
I got
three. Or what rumors have we heard that the price is?
I'll give you
four. Or what do we think the what I'll do we think you, Sony's going to make the
I'll
price?
I'll give you four categories. What's the correct price for it?
I think $150 is the correct price for it.
Okay. What do you think Sony will price it for?
I think Sony will genuinely price it at $299.
What do you think it should be priced at? What that might the, be it might be the same as the first answer.
I think it should be less than $200. I will give them less than $200. Okay. I think it should be $150. That might be a little bit weird now with part shortages and inflation. So maybe like $175 or $199 is more realistic. But $199 is fucking pushing it. Like really pushing it. Especially considering it's there's some stuff about it in the rumor section. So I'll just rip through it real quick. There's some Tom Henderson talk.
Ah, good old Tom.
He said the PlayStation Project Q's battery life is 3 to 4 hours. He also said he didn't have anything on price, but he said it would be a mistake if it was more than $200.
So, hello, welcome to me. It's the Clown Show. I think Sony sells it for $250. But, and here's where I think they try to save themselves.
I think I know what you're going to say.
They immediately discount it for $50.
Okay, now what I thought you were going to say.
And they keep it on, like, permanent sale. So they sell it for $199 instead of $249.
I could see them, you know how I could see them getting away with $250? It's $250 and it comes with a year of PlayStation Plus.
Right, so I can see them doing the same thing of saying it's $249. We're going to drop $50 off of it, and it comes with this or whatever.
Yeah.
Also, I think it shouldn't cost more than $125 for an 8-inch 1080p LCD screen that lasts 3 to 4 hours. You're lucky to get $120 out of me. You're lucky to get $100 at this point. Like. Hearing what that rumor and the 1080 and yada yada, I am immediately out. I was potentially in at $100 if it was 1080 because I would just put it up here and play the show while I'm waiting for groups for keys.
Mm-hmm.
I also, but if it's over $100, I'm out. I don't care. I also do not think this is the game or this is the device that you would want to play games on that are. I want to say like big set piece games or like really pretty games. Like I would not want to play God of War, Horizon, Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, those types of games on this device. I would rather play the show, FIFA, Gran Turismo, not even Call of Duty. Like I would be playing stuff that was low impact.
Your chill
just,
games.
Just chill.
Yeah,
because you can technically count God of War as being chill, but like anything that's supposed to be this really pretty adventure, I want on the big screen. Now, there's also the argument with a lot of people that bring it up with like what they did with the Wii U, where they're like, okay, not to mention all the games you want to play on it, you have to have downloaded on your PlayStation. You can't stream from anywhere else; they have to be downloaded on your PlayStation. Which is fine for me, but whatever.
This is like a on Wi-Fi streaming device.
Specifically, I believe that's exactly what the word Jim Ryan said.
Yeah.
And the thing that it will never affect me, or I guess in theory, eventually it should affect me if I'm lucky enough. but what people use like the Wii U for were like, oh, so-and-so wants to watch something on the TV. My partner wants to watch whatever. So they can have the TV, but I now have this device where I can still play my game. Mm. And we're still sitting on the couch just chilling, but I get to play my game. They get to watch the show. Perfect. Nobody's hogging up the TV. I've heard other people that are like, well, just buy like another 40-inch TV and put it next to it. And I'm like, that. I get where you're coming from, because to us, that would just be like, oh, yeah, you just do that. But like, that is not feasible in a lot of homes. Not for the cost, but for like space and blah, blah, blah. Like, a lot of people would just be like, no, you are not pulling out an entire other TV to put next to my TV that I'm already playing on. Like, what? So I can get the use case behind that for certain households. I just think they're going to fumble the price so fucking hard that it's not funny. And if you can't play with it plugged in to like keep that battery life alive, that's really short. I mean, granted, obviously 3 to 4 hours, if somebody else is potentially using the TV, it's not meant to be a replacement for your console, but.
Yeah, but still, I think that's bad. That's just bad.
Where's your external device? Your external drive device?
I don't know. The other thing, the one saving grace to it, to where I was like, I could understand why it's not $100, is he did specifically say it has full functionality of a DualSense controller in it. So it's not like it has
which is a guaranteed $70 price.
Yeah. It has all the haptics and all that good stuff.
But
so
that's
like,
what I'm like, depending on what tablet they were putting in, but if it's a 1080p 8 inch, you can get those for like $35.
Yeah. But you know, they're company.
You better have
a
headphone port.
They want to get their margins. That's an interesting one.
You better have a headphone jack.
Yeah, because it defeats the purpose of it if you can't wear headphones with it.
Yeah. Unless they specifically say you need to play with our Bluetooth earbuds. You want to talk about a real piss? Piss case scenario. So
that was the other thing they released showed, by the way, was they're having PlayStation branded earbuds.
I was actually intrigued by that.
I'm interested, but I don't have high hopes because, like, traditionally, so Sony do make really good headphones.
Yeah, the gold, usually referred to as the gold series for over the years specifically, I believe.
But with the PS5, when they rebranded and re-released everything on the PS5, they didn't come out with a set that was good.
Funny enough, my good headphones are Sony's. They're MX3s.
Yeah. They didn't come out with a PlayStation-branded headset that was good for the PS5 generation.
True.
So that's my concern with these, is that they're going to be another, like, middling option where, like...
If they're over $100, it's a mistake.
Yeah.
He specifically said PlayStation and PC, which I thought was very interesting.
That is interesting.
But that's the part where I was like, I'm intrigued because I could replace the clunkers that are around here with just those and then just flip back and forth between them downstairs and upstairs, whatever. I would never use them downstairs. But if they were $100 and they were good, here's my problem. Buds specifically never feel good for me at an elongated amount of time.
Mm.
My JBLs feel fine for the most part. But it was at the end of mowing the lawn today, and I could start to feel them, and I'm like, all right, we're at about the 4 hour mark. These have got to go.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm assuming I don't know. I mean, I kind of think the easiest route would be to do some sort of version of their current wireless headphones. I think, are they on the XM4 now, or is it the 3?
They're on the MX4s, but they're apparently worse than the MX3s, which is why I specifically bought the 3s and not the 4s.
Yeah, so the smart version would be some sort of variation of the 3s or the 4s, but I don't know, like, those are like new. What are they, $100 and something, $125 or something, or
like $300 to $400
for the 4s?
Yeah,
that much.
For the ones I'm thinking of, yeah.
There's no way they're worth that. Jesus Christ. For fucking wireless earbuds.
Oh, the buds. Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm talking the over the ears.
Oh, no.
That's my price reference. I have no idea what my guess then, the buds are probably like $150.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like
$150 to $200.
If you use some of the components from that, I guess. But I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see on that one. And the last thing they showed was Marvel Spider-Man 2 gameplay. They showed too much of it. And it came out, it's coming out this year, obviously. And it's PS5, obviously. Gee, what did you think of the gameplay?
Everything I wanted.
Yeah.
I was all in. I was all in before they showed anything, though, because I was just like...
I feel like it was too much.
There was a lot they showed, but there was also a lot that they allowed it to allude to with... Oh, my phone just turned off. Cool. A lot that they alluded to...
I guess not too much. I think it was too long.
It was, but if that was going to be their feature game, like that makes sense. Like if you did that exact same amount of length for Marathon, you could have done it for Marathon, but if you did the exact same amount of length for, say... Blaze Blue or whatever the fuck that game was.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. But it was pretty long. There were a couple moments that definitely could have been cut out that didn't need to be there. But the symbiote thing is interesting. Two playable characters that you can switch between and whatever. I'm like, I'll be very intrigued to see how they actually handle that. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they'll actually allow you to go full GTA where you just like flip to another character in the city. Maybe you would be able to in the open world that you could just flip to one or the other and the other one's doing something, which would be very cool. When GTA did that, it was very awesome to do. And then obviously once you're in a mission, you're kind of like locked into whatever they want you to be. But
yeah, it's not my thing. I'm not a Spider-Man fan, but it would be interesting if they replicated that mechanic and did it well. Because no one's replicated that I know of, have they?
Not really. And I mean, you're not going to ever find another like Trevor being drunk in the mountain when you switch to him and then be like, I got 30 minutes before I'm off this hill.
That game's so fucking wild, man. Even it's crazy that came out
11 years ago.
What the fuck? It's amazing. And we're getting shit like Lord of the Rings Gollum.
Yep.
Amazing.
All right, I'm going to burn through some stuff.
All right, do it up.
Talking about the PlayStation Showcase, continuing. Tom Henderson said, quote, updates and reveals on PlayStation's new hardware, in addition to focusing solely on first-party titles, would be the showcase that PlayStation needs to set up the next phase. It's understood that a lot of games we're waiting on seeing are pretty much ready, so I'm not sure why Sony decided to wait this time around, end quote. Yeah, no shit. It's literally everything we just said.
Great. Yep.
According to Jez Corden, the CMA's senior director who blocked Microsoft's Xbox to Activision merger, previously worked for a Sony law firm. Man, does it get better. Have you seen the Lord of the Rings Gollum reviews? Well, according to various German websites... Never, I'm not going to make that joke. It seems the developer of Gollum, Daedalic Entertainment, has received funding from the German government to the tune of around 200 million euros for another Lord of the Rings game. This one is codenamed It's Magic and tells a story from a character's perspective that has never been told before. Why does Germany like shit games? The Snitch has said on Reset Era that there's a AAA PlayStation port that's coming to PC in July. Which game could that be? Bloodborne? Question marks?
I don't know.
Hey, more rumors and quick things. A 52-year-old from Nagoya, Japan is now the first person in Japan to be arrested for illegally uploading video games. Oh, sorry. Illegally uploading game videos on YouTube. As reported by Japan Today, the videos were of Stein Gate, My Darling's Embrace. Everybody knows that one, right?
No.
The PlayStation VR 2 just sold just shy of 600,000 units in 6 weeks from launch, tracking ahead of the original PSVR, which is actually really good then.
It is, but I think it's significantly lower than their expectations still.
That's probably true, but that if you're beating your original one, I feel like that's
yeah, that's I think good it's news, good. Right? It's growth.
It's growth, Captain. Number three, Kabam, the publisher behind Disney Mirrorverse and Marvel Contest of Champions. Know both of those, has laid off 12% of its employees.
Number Which might four, be like two people.
Yeah, but true. Number four, Sega has announced it will make 121 redundancies at Company of Heroes developer Relic Entertainment. I hate that phrasing.
Okay.
Redundancy? You're now made redundant.
Yeah, I know.
It's just like I don't, really insulting.
It really is. But people aren't real. They're
a number.
Yes.
Number five, Microsoft has officially filed its appeal with the Competition Appeal Tribunal on May 24th. Number six, sources told Kotaku, wow, I can't read, that Ubisoft's plan for their Star Wars game is to release this fiscal year, but the sources think the game will slip into the following fiscal year, which would be April 2024 to March 2025, which also means the reskin of the upcoming Avatar game into a Star Wars project is now delayed.
Oh, that's going to, it's all terrible. I
forgot they had a Star Wars game.
And that's too soon.
Yep.
Both of those times, both are too soon. Both years.
But all of that's way too soon. Number seven, former Battlefield creative director Lars Gustafsson has announced the formation of a new flank development studio, TTK Games, or Time to Kill Games. I like it. It's a good reference.
Mm-hmm.
Number eight, Ubisoft's Prince of Persia Sands of Time remake has been fully rebooted and is currently in the conception phase. I didn't think you could half-birth something and then start again.
That seems to be Ubisoft's bread and butter.
I thought we read at one point it went gold.
Maybe. I don't know anymore, dude. Ubisoft is a fucking mess, dude. If they come out with having high hopes for Mirage, you know, maybe that's on us. But
maybe it's the only franchise they can make anymore.
Maybe
it's that and Rainbow Six. The only other one that I have any faith in is The Division, and I'm still not sure we ever see it.
I've never seen a more obvious example of a company needing different management.
And we've worked in a lot of shitty companies.
Like, Ubisoft has how many studios? And they're all failing. All of them.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a coincidence. Like, if you took them all and made them all independent, statistically, that would be impossible. So, the common denominator here is the entity that's managing them all and making all the decisions.
There's literally only... Yeah, no, I was going to say, I'm trying to think about it, and it's like, okay, Rainbow Six, yeah. Assassin's Creed, yeah. The Division, yeah. Ghost Recon's dead. Splinter Cell, they pretend doesn't exist. Just Dance is thriving.
Riders Republic, dead.
Dead. Skull and Bones.
Should be dead.
God, that, I'm surprised that wasn't the rebooted announcement.
Beyond Good and Evil 2 never really existed.
Yep.
The Division.
Roller Champions, dead.
Dead, yeah. The Division.
Questionable.
Yeah. Possibly dying.
There's a heartbeat. Faint. Faint heartbeat. That's just all it is. Way too long in between.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not looking good over there. Anyway, it's been 7 days. What you been up to?
Not much. Started watching some Demon Slayer. Re-downloaded Knights of the Republic because I have a coworker who's finally playing that for the first time and is liking it, and it kind of got me all, you know, got the juices flowing. And I spent the day before I got sick last weekend, I spent probably 4 or 5 hours and then an hour and a half the next day installing something like 200 mods onto this. There was a build I found.
Oh, God.
That was just like, you know, install all these mods in this order. And it basically is like a remaster of the game. And the override folder on my Steam install for it has like something like 5,000 files in it.
Jesus Christ.
So we'll see how that goes. I don't know. I haven't had time to start it up yet.
You haven't started it after doing all that?
Well, what happened was Samantha's been reading a lot. So like I didn't want to disturb her. So I haven't any of the animes that she had been watching with me that like new seasons came out with. I haven't been watching them. And they'd just been building up. And then all of a sudden, she was just like,
let's watch.
I am out here. And I was like, oh, well, I guess we could watch Demon Slayer. So we've been trying to catch up on Demon Slayer. So
gotcha.
That's where I'm at in life. Where are you at?
I finished Jedi Survivor.
Nice.
Fuck that last fight.
Interesting. I forgot that game existed.
Yep. I finished it. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm glad I'm done. It was a good game.
Oh, okay.
I don't have any like true problems with it. Other than like you get through it and you go, when you reach the like turning point, like the, you can feel yourself going up that mountain and coming back down it kind of the climax or whatever. And you go,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes, yeah. All right. And I got there and I was just kind of like, well, this has got to happen now. And then it just kind of like goes to the end and you kind of get to the end. The last fight I fucking hated. Because I got to like the third phase of it or whatever. And then I was just essentially what we saw happening to Rey earlier. I got hit by one thing and I could not recover fast enough to avoid the next four and just would die. And I was like, I can't even get a healing stim. Like,
The fuck? Essentially like stun locked.
Yeah. So I eventually ended up getting it where I think I stuck the guy in a corner and it just kind of worked out. They couldn't like do anything because they were floating or whatever. Got through that phase and was able to kill that one. But it took way too long. Like, I should have just dropped the difficulty and just, I'm just going to get through this. I'm at the end. I just get me through it. And then it ends and they set you up for the next game in the typical of just like, here's where we would kick it off if we wanted to, but not like,
not we're being
kicking it off.
Yeah, not being as obvious to be like, there's a three.
Yeah. But just being like, here's where we're going to start three if we do. And I'm kind of like, okay. I'm not in love with it, but I don't hate it. I get it.
I kind of lost interest when the story became obvious.
Where are you in it? What's the obvious part of the story?
Well,
spoilers for a game that's over a month old.
Clearly, the fucking bounty hunter dude. Well, I don't know if he's a bounty hunter dude, but like, clearly, the dude who's the new guy is going to betray you. Yeah, clearly. Bode. And then.
Because he's foreboding.
Yeah.
I fucking hate it.
I mean, so you got like three. So as of right now, where I'm at, and I'm not that far in. I'm only at like fucking Jedha, I think.
Yeah, you're on your way to see Seer.
I just saw her.
Okay, yeah.
So you got him.
I got way too confused at that beginning area, by the way. I didn't realize you had to push the door open with a sand monster. I ran all around that place for like 30 minutes.
Push the door open with a sand monster.
When you first get to Jedha and there's that thing in the sand.
Yeah.
So you're not supposed to like be in the sand or, you know, pops on and kills you. I didn't realize that there was a force wall that you just had to push and then run through.
Mm-hmm.
So I was running all over that place for like 30 minutes going like, what do I have to jump on to get up? Like, and then I opened up the map and I was like, oh, I just have to push the door. I fucking hate it here.
Yeah. So you got Bode, you got that big ugly alien dude.
Grease?
No.
Oh.
The bounty hunter guy or the leader dude there. You gotta fight him at some point.
Yeah, can't remember what species he is and what his name is. Or what his name is now.
And then the fucking one armed guy.
Yeah, Dagengera.
Yeah. And that's basically where I'm at, where I'm like, all right, so these are the people that are like, at some point you're gonna get betrayed. And then you're going to be set them up, knock them down.
Bowling pins, you set them up and you knock them down. Yeah. There are good good moments throughout the entire thing. Mm-hmm. Like, there are a lot of fun moments and times where I was like, man, these fights are really fun and good. And then I got to the last fight and I was like, I honestly hate this.
Yeah.
So, but again, it was a good game. Probably like 8 to 8.5 out of 10 for me.
Nice. How long?
I didn't check. I'm going to guess 28 hours.
Interesting. I kind of stopped. One of the reasons why I stopped playing was I felt like it was taking too long to go anywhere.
Well, for where you are, you should have been further by now. But if you do what I eventually reached, which was I am going forward, and that's that. I'm mm-hmm. not exploring the rest of this fucking world.
Well, like Jedha, I haven't been exploring it. I've just been like going. I got to Seer, and I did the whole Seer cutscene with Cordova. And
yeah,
I'm at their base right now. Is where I left off, and that was like a week. That was like 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to do on Jedha, and you go back and forth from Jedha to First Planet.
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but I know it. Yeah,
not Coruscant. Oh my God, it's got the moon.
That's no moon. It's a space station. I can't remember what it's called.
It's gonna bug the hell out of me now.
I like that planet. Well, I like the back half of it from what I did, which was like when you're going through when you get to the guy that you release, the one armed guy.
Oh, when you get to the
I liked that part. Part getting to him and doing all that
part
stuff.
Was very cool. I like that.
Yeah, so I guess I'll have to play that at some point. I should finish that. Kobo. There it is. Not to be confused with Koba, which was an ancient Mayan city.
Yeah. I'll get there eventually. But yeah, no, so that's done, and then it's just been that and WoW. So
WoW. Doing
Diablo in this week for early access week after, so
Diablo 4.
Yep. Hail Satan.
All right.
All right, that's all I got then. It's been a long one, so we got to wrap this up.
I got nothing.
Cool. We'll see you guys in the days. Enjoy Memorial Day. Don't blow your arm off with a firework.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.